from Brian K. Reeves. Okay, this was confirmed that the DNS records that tell systems how to find Facebook.com or Instagram.com got withdrawn this morning from the global routing tables. Basically, what that means, DNS went down. So either somebody forgot to pay the hosting bill. Welcome to another episode of the Big Picture Business Podcast. Hi, Rory.
Hello.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck?
Ready for what?
Ready to talk about Facebook's huge fail today. That's what I want to talk about. We're going to talk about Facebook's lies, the misinformation, the deception, the Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp outage that lasted just about 6 hours. 6 hours. That's the biggest outage in the history of Facebook's life. And so much has happened in the last 48 hours. It's crazy. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today.
Yeah. Now let's put that into perspective. Okay. So they've been around for 17 years. Facebook has been around for 17 years and they've never been down for 6 hours.
It's a long time.
So why? Why did this happen?
Well, tinfoil hats on, everybody. Well, a little bit. Okay. For those of you who have been living under a rock, let's explain a little bit about what happened in the last couple of days here. There was a whistleblower of the name Frances Haugen. And Frances Haugen has a phenomenal reputation. She used to work at Google and then she went on to work at Pinterest. And then now, according to CNN, okay, who wrote the article after the 60 Minutes interview came out. All right, so let's just tell you a little bit about who this whistleblower is, okay? 37-year-old Frances Haugen, okay? She's the former Facebook product manager who worked on civil integrity issues at the company, okay? And she basically explained, I'm not going to read this whole article, obviously, but she basically explained that Facebook, you know, is for profit and wasn't being honest about the ways in which they were conducting business and delivering ads. And she talks about how Facebook knows its platform, you know, or excuse me, platforms are used to spread hate, violence, and misinformation, and that the company has tried to hide the evidence. And she presented the evidence, whether to law enforcement or whoever else that she shared this to or shared this with, about how scary a lot of these internal investigations are and how Facebook just kept sweeping under the rug. And now it's all come to light. And for those of you who are not aware, Instagram was getting ready to roll out basically Instagram for tweens, right? You've got the younger teens that want to be on Instagram, of course, you know, hanging out with friends and commenting and sharing and all that stuff. And they put a halt on it last week. And I, in my marketing network circle, kind of laughed at that. Like, yeah, I'm sure they did, you know, and they said they put a hold on it because they wanted to look at the psychology around how social media affects younger generations. And I think that that was completely a marketing ploy. Like that was their intention to do from the very beginning, in my opinion. And then now this happens with the whistleblower, right? And then it's no coincidence to me, I don't know about you, Rory, that Facebook shuts down hard for 6 hours today.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, what's the world going to be like without Facebook? Well, this is what it's going to be like.
Everyone's still here. Yeah. We're still here. But it's a really interesting thing to look at, like, wow, okay, so my mind immediately goes to like, oh my gosh, is Facebook.com available? So just for fun, like I quickly went over to WPX Hosting, looked up the who is. So for those of you that are seeing this image like circling the internet right now where it shows that Facebook.com was for sale, that's not true. That was a manufactured image for sure. It must have been Photoshop because when I actually go look up the who is of Facebook, it shows that the domain was very secure and it will be secure until March of 2030. So set your calendars, everybody. But that's good to know, right? You can just go gather information from who is and see what happens. But I took a screenshot of Facebook.com and looked up where the cloud servers were, and they were 100% offline across the globe, globally, completely shut down. Okay. And I can confirm this 100% from Brian K. Reeves. Okay. This was confirmed that the DNS records that tell systems how to find Facebook.com or Instagram.com got withdrawn this morning from the global routing tables. Basically, what that means, DNS went down. So either somebody forgot to pay the hosting bill, which happens. Wouldn't that be hilarious if that's what it ended up being? It could be somebody forgot to pay a bill. Maybe the servers got hacked. That's a possibility, right?
Let's talk about probably a more likely scenario, internal.
Mm-hmm. Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially on the heels of this whistleblowing happening. Yeah. I don't think that that's far from reality. But honestly, we just will not know until we get more information. I'm sure Facebook's going to come out with some sort of news, some report that'll say, here's what happened. You know, hopefully everything is still, quote unquote, secure, right? It all feels like security theater, though. You know, truly, I mean, anything you put online will permanently be there forever. Whether you go back and you try to delete it at another time, no, it's there forever. So just know that, whether it's Facebook or something else.
Yeah.
Part of me feels kind of bad for Facebook, especially on the stock side of things, right? But I want to talk about Facebook stock just for a second, okay? And I feel like this is important because if we talk about stock shorting and what that means and how that potentially could have been beneficial for even people who are involved in Facebook, do you want to talk to that a little bit, Rory?
Okay, let's start with talking about what stock shorting is, and then let's talk about how it could be beneficial. So stock shorting is when you are saying, when you're making a bet against a stock, like most people, when they purchase a stock, they're saying, this stock's going to go up and that's how I'm going to make money. And stock shorting is the opposite. They're saying that stock's going to go down and I'm betting it's going to go down, mm-hmm. right? So let's look at how this could have been beneficial to someone. So let's say a couple of days ago, someone said, hey, I'm going to short the Facebook stock by, you know, and then like put a, let's say $1 million against it, mm-hmm. right? Facebook stock just went down 5%.
Just shy of 5%. Yeah.
Yeah. So what does that look like in real numbers? Shorting stocks is limited to 100% return. So you would get a 5% return on that.
So basically that means that if people knew this was going to happen, there would have been quite a bit to gain.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. If someone knew that this interview was going to come out and then they shorted the stock end of last week, mm-hmm. they potentially had a lot to gain.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we talk about gains in other places and losses in other places, there is no definitive exact number of Mark Zuckerberg's wealth in terms of how much he actually lost today. Let me just give you like the myriad of what I'm seeing here. USA Today is reporting that Mark Zuckerberg lost $15 billion in his personal net worth and stock portfolio. And now I'm seeing on Fox Business, $7 billion. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. I think bottom line is the man lost some serious cash today.
But at the same time, this happens over and over again. Like a 5% loss in the grand scheme of things isn't actually that big for them, because they probably will bounce back. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm sure people are saying like, is Facebook going away? And the reality is that probably not, but let's look at that. Like many years ago, there was MySpace, right? And it went away and people said, oh, like it's never going to go away type of thing. Mm-hmm. But we've got to look at the differences about why MySpace went away, why some other social media platforms go away, and why Facebook probably isn't. Okay, so first off, as a direct example with MySpace, MySpace was a $500 million company, $500 million, whereas Facebook is a $1 trillion company. Mm-hmm. Okay, big, big difference. MySpace did not have built-in advertising revenue in the way that Facebook does. Just to break down the numbers, okay? Let's look at the advertising revenue before we even continue this. Okay, advertising revenue of Facebook. In 2019, Facebook made $68 billion just from their advertising revenue. In 2020, it made $84 billion in advertising revenue. And then think about this, in the first half of 2021, they've already made over $50 billion.
Yep.
Now, when you have that type of money coming in, you're able to reinvest it in the business in so many different ways, right? So they're probably not going away unless there's like some major societal change.
Well, and we might be on the precipice of that.
I mean, it's possible, but it's still probably not likely because Facebook will keep adjusting and they'll keep doing their thing, right? And, you know, just to also put it in perspective, because they were down for 6 hours, right? They lost $68 million just in that 6 hours, right? That is just, it's like a drop in the bucket for them, right? Sure, they don't want to be losing that money, but that's just from their advertising revenue, right? Their stock price, which is what we were talking about earlier, is really the more important thing to Facebook. Facebook is a publicly traded company, whereas MySpace wasn't, and a lot of other social media companies aren't publicly traded. Mm-hmm. So what does that do? Well, it means there's shareholders. It means there's investors that are tied to the company. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to allow their investment to just fall apart.
Heck no.
Right?
No way. Yeah.
So if they're not letting their investment fall apart, then they're going to do everything in their power, even to the point of probably changing laws to benefit Facebook mm-hmm. or prevent laws from being enacted in order to keep their investment secure.
Right. To continue benefiting them.
Yeah.
And it's a social media giant. It really is. It's, if someone really wanted to take down Facebook, they did it successfully for 6 hours today. But you know what I mean? But other than that, there's a reason why there's so many data server farms out there. You know?
Yeah. But also let's look at it from like the perspective of our daily lives.
Yeah.
Right. Facebook and Instagram, they're designed to create addiction.
Of course.
Right. And that's, you know, kind of like what you were talking about with, you know, they were going to put out a tween version of their apps. Mm-hmm. The addiction is so built in to how the platforms work that what ends up happening is, you know, people aren't willing to give that up.
Well, here's what was super weird. So Facebook goes down, and the very first thing that I did, Rory, was open up Facebook Messenger to message you about it and realized, oh no, I can't do that. Okay, I'll send Rory an email. And then that thought crossed my mind, wow, I wonder how long this is going to be down and what is life going to be like if it doesn't come back? And immediately I felt this sense of like, oh no, my pictures. Because I post a lot of pictures on social media. I was like, oh no. And then I thought, oh no, the content that I spend hours writing for my captions on Instagram. Oh no. You know, and then I thought, eh, whatever. And it was almost a sense of relief that I wasn't missing out on something. And it was weird to kind of go through those emotions of like, well, if I'm not online, that means no one else is. And we're all not connected in that way. And I don't know if any of you use the app Telegraph. We read a funny tweet earlier. I forget who said it. It was someone that worked at, like, I think CNN, that mentioned my Telegraph app is blowing up. So start investing, you know, because we need an alternative. And I know that Twitter saw an all-time high today in their daily users. So it's interesting to be thinking about how is it really affecting us on a day-to-day level. I talked to my uncle this morning, who also said, I went to go post about Facebook being down on Facebook, and I realized I couldn't post about it. It's kind of weird. It's like when we get this idea of like, I really want to post about it, but oh, it's not there.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this goes back to, I mean, so much of what we're talking about, we've known about,
of course,
for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've been paying attention, I mean, it's been around for years and years.
Yeah.
Right. You know, all the struggles with Facebook. But in 2018, they actually made an algorithm change. And it's that change that Francis Haugen has been pinpointing as when Facebook had drastically changed the way that they present information to people. Mm-hmm. And it's also pretty much the whole plot point of the social dilemma documentary that came out in 2020 about how Facebook and all these other social media platforms, but Facebook in particular, is creating addiction in people through their platform. And they're also collecting so much information on people and all of that.
It's a bit polarizing. Like, it's a weird thing where Facebook was designed to connect college kids together to network. And now it's turned into this giant, and somehow it's bringing people together in a lot of different ways, but it promotes a lot of anger and fear, and politics are now involved. There's money grabbing. It's a very weird time to be a digital marketer, to own a marketing agency, and to want to utilize the best of what a social media platform has to offer. And yet the other side of it is like, do I really want to be involved with a platform that knows that it's letting hate speech fall through the cracks? It knows it's doing it. Why? Because the algorithm favors, remember, I mentioned this in the last episode, algorithm favors the longer you stay on a platform. And so they're going to deliver more of that type of content to you because they know that you get triggered by that. Then you share, then you post, then you comment, you're spending more time. Everything on The Social Dilemma, that movie, if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. I mean, it was a dramatized, you know, sort of gross exaggeration to a point, right? But there's a lot of truths there too. So it's something to be paying attention to. So on a personal level, you know, talking about how does it affect our daily lives, be aware that you're being delivered information that is going to keep you on the platform longer.
I think the statistics are, on average, people spend 30 minutes a day on at least Instagram, and it's pretty close for Facebook as well, because it's like, it's all designed to feed our instincts, mm-hmm. right? Because so what happens, it's always showing us new information. And that was one of the biggest changes that happened, is that you can just pull down and update, and there's mm-hmm. new information. Yeah. And that type of thing I found has actually gone to another level. Okay. So I'll explain. I don't tend to spend a whole lot of time on actual the front end of social media, spend a lot of time like in the back end, ad managers, things like that. But the other day I was looking something on Instagram and I had an ad pop up and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then I put my phone down because I had to go handle something, and I came back to go and look at it, and it comes back on, and then it auto refreshed mm-hmm. and the ad was gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's a new feature. So they're constantly auto refreshing. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find that ad again, because it was like something that I was really interested in. So I was scrolling, just trying to looking for the ads. Right. And there were in a span, you know, I gave it like 20, 30 minutes, something like that. In that span, there was at least 10 ads that came up for other stuff where I thought, wow, I need to know about that. I need to look into that more. Mm-hmm. So their targeting is so good with their ads.
But then it begs the question, that's you and me doing that. That's us yeah. targeting us, essentially, right? Like, what I mean by that is digital marketers targeting, providing you the information that you actually want to know about.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad.
No, exactly. Like I was like, oh, I've never would have heard about that if I wasn't yeah. actually mm-hmm. like scrolling through this. But at the same time, it goes back to what you're saying is like, are you wanting to feed that addiction for people as part of your marketing? Right. And it is a dilemma for everyone, you know, and it's like, there's no right or wrong answer completely. Sometimes it's a personal decision you have to make on either side of what you're going to do, but just knowing what it does to us, it creates that addiction. Mm-hmm. What do you think the addiction does to us?
I think it has a lot to do with understanding self-worth and value. And what I mean by that is, anytime someone likes something of ours or comments or takes the time to let us know that they saw our stuff on social media. And think about it, we're constantly wanting to post the best of the best. How do I look? How's my hair? How's my all of that, right? Makeup, this, that, what am I wearing? How's it sound? The music. making sure it's the best we can get it before we actually post it online. When someone likes that, it provides a serotonin high for all of us.
And okay, but let's look at it on the other side. What happens when someone doesn't like it?
Well, that's where I'm going, right? Yeah. So if we're not getting that, like, oh, yay, me, serotonin, and you've posted something, let's say you've put a lot of effort into, especially as a business owner, and a child, you know, I mean, there's kids using Instagram and Facebook and everything else where they're posting what they think might be great content and they're not getting the response they want. And it just drives this like devaluing self-worth, self-image, self-hate can come from it. Nobody likes me. Anytime I see anyone younger, honestly, than like 18 on social media, it scares me. I'm now of the age, I'm 32, you know, Rory and I are of the age where we can look at something and go, whatever. So someone didn't like something I posted. Great. It didn't resonate, but at least I put content out there because the algorithm likes content. That's where my mind goes. I don't care if someone likes it or not. I don't care because I'm writing content and I know it's valuable for me that I can go back and use later for a book or something. But that's because I've trained myself to know how to do these things. Rory, I'm sure same for you. But when you think about your children, when I think about my daughter, I don't want her on these big social media platforms, aside from talk about predators and all that stuff. That's a whole other topic, right? It's just social media is designed to like basically tell us, here's how you're doing in the world. People like you or they don't. Here's how you're doing. It's weird. It's like a false sense of security in how we navigate and what we do and what we say and how it's so bizarre how much time is spent perfecting this false sense of who we are. So people can see it online. It's bizarre. It's just so bizarre, you know? And so, yeah, for kids, that freaks me out. Now, I fully agree that there should be something online where kids can connect in a virtual space. I think that's brilliant. I think there needs to be parameters around how that's done. I don't think that Instagram is the answer for that. In fact, I think Instagram for tweens is totally scary. I think that there's a lot of data that's going to be collected about that. I think that's going to be a breeding ground for predators. Now, that's my own fears. Okay. I don't want to put that on everyone. That's just me and my own opinion. And hopefully many of you are laughing and saying she's crazy. Okay, fine. But there's just so much that could potentially go wrong. Think about what went wrong when Facebook Live first really became a thing. We watched people get murdered, cold blood murdered, and Facebook was not able to take it down fast enough. That's horrifying. So there are some things that I'm all for when it comes to social media. I'm a champion for like, get your stuff out there. And I've made quite a bit of money, you know, by being a social media marketer and running ads and all that. That's how I got my start, right? So I'm grateful for that opportunity. But because I have had those opportunities, I also have the red flag warnings all the time going, okay.
Yeah.
So we really wanted to talk with you about, like, yes, this will happen with Facebook and it's crazy, but also at the same time, it's like, what do we do? Like, I know a lot of my clients, they rely on Instagram specifically to drive sales. They got started on Instagram. They're successful because of Instagram and they make millions of dollars because of Instagram. And when it went down today, my phone was ringing. Like, what happened? What do we do? Like, is my content still there? Oh my gosh, my followers, what happens? So let's talk about that. What should we do, Rory? What do we need to put in place today to make sure that we still can have a viable business if, in fact, social media goes away?
Well, one word, diversification.
That's right.
Okay. Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, organic promotions, dealing with influencers. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that rides on those platforms, but they're not the only platforms. Google, YouTube, they've been around for quite a long time as well. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same type of social media aspect to them. Now, YouTube does a bit, okay, because it does have subscribers, it does have likes, it does have things that are designed to keep you watching, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, most people go to YouTube with the intention of entertainment or getting new knowledge, mm-hmm. right? When people go to Instagram or to Facebook, it's passive scrolling. They're not looking for that information. So when you're advertising, it actually is a little bit more beneficial, because when someone is actively watching videos, say, let's say about DIY home repair, and then your ad is about DIY home repair course or something that, you know, you walk them through all the steps of how they can be the best DIYer or something like that. Well, then it's completely relevant. Whereas with Facebook and Instagram, you know, we were talking about, yes, the algorithms have gotten better. Yes, the marketers have gotten better at like pinpointing, but all of that comes from data that they know about us that is so foundational. And a lot of that access is going away in some ways. With YouTube, they have a little bit of a different algorithm where if you click on a video, that video already has the ads built in for it. And people have said, that's already my type of audience, so I'm going to show my ad in front of them.
Makes sense, yeah.
Right? So you can target right down to the specific video, you can the specific channel if you want, keywords, interests, but also what they were searching on Google, right? Which is really key, because if someone is searching for something, they're probably interested in it. And then they go to YouTube and then they see your ad, right? So it's a more direct path. And the benefit of that we always talked about in the past with our clients, even on the podcast with Facebook and Instagram, is that you can get started with lower budgets and be able to get your ads up and running and functioning a lot quicker sometimes than with Facebook and YouTube. That's not really the case anymore since the iOS updates. Mm-hmm. And since that's not the case, you know, you should look at other platforms. Now, if you're looking for social media like TikTok, you're going to get cheaper ads if you know how to design ads for that platform. But there are a lot of people who are utilizing it. You run into some of the same issues that you run into with Facebook though. So what are some other options you would recommend?
Well, one thing that I recommended just today to a client of mine, they called in a panic because Instagram was down. And I said, look, Instagram will come back online. It might not happen in the next 20 minutes, but today it will happen, right? And so I said, first thing you should do, let's go ahead and set up an email opt-in on your website. Because this company refused to get emails. They didn't want to. Well, I don't want to spam people. That's not spamming people. If they're signing up for your email list, they want information from you. So get an email address. I can't tell you how many times, I mean, as a marketer, we say there's money in the list. Get a list. Like they're targeted. They're your people. Get the list. So put an email opt-in on your site. And then as soon as your social media comes back online, offer that to people. Say, hey, this happened. We are all aware that this happened. If it ever happens again and we get disconnected, I want to make sure that I can still reach you and you can still reach me. Here's my info. Here's the email opt-in. I promise not to spam you. This is just for us to stay connected and to let you know the latest offerings or whatever, right? So she quickly developed that. It's on Instagram right now. She's already getting a massive influx of people that want her information. So make sure you got your email opt-in in place. Offer that to your followers regularly, that's available to them. Don't get them off of your social media for however long you're going to keep posting, but this is the just-in-case plan. Rory and I always say, have a backup for your backup. You need backups.
Yeah. And it's have social media backups. It's have advertising backups, have email lists, have text messaging, like get as much. After someone gets on your list, get as much information as you can from them by making them offers. Mm-hmm. Offer them something so that you can get more contact information. You know, if someone who becomes a customer, even if they only pay 99 cents or $1 or $5, you still have their contact information. And they're way more valuable than someone who just signed up for something for free on your email list. Okay. But I want to bring up something around email that is going to affect people very shortly, which is iOS 15.
Yay.
Yeah. iOS 15 update basically makes it so that the tracking for email is going to change. They're also allowing people to create ghost type of email addresses that they can use to opt into things without giving away their real email address. Mm-hmm. So they can get the thing from you, but you don't actually have their contact information. So how do you deal with that? Well, one of it is by what we just said, offering something at a very low ticket price where they have to put their real information in to get it. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be ways around these things that are developed, software that's developed and things like that, that are going to counteract some of this. But things to be aware of on the email side are that your open rates aren't going to be accurate anymore. Mm-hmm. Because when you send out an email and someone is blocking, it actually shows it as open, whether they open it or not. So it's going to look like you have massive jumps in your open rates, but you don't. So you're not going to be able to use opens as a tracking mechanism anymore. So you're going to have to really look at, is your email content solid? And then where are you leading your customer? Because you need that link click to tell you more information about what actions they're taking. So getting them to open is one thing, but if you can't track that, you don't know how well your emails are doing. But the links in and of itself, if they're actually clicking, if you've only been getting a 1% click-through rate, you're not going to have a whole lot of information to go off of. So you're going to have to get better at your email marketing in order to be able to market much more effectively.
I think we really need to have an in-depth episode about email marketing. I know that we've touched on it a few times, but with the way that things are moving and rather quickly, I think it's important that so many business owners actually do it and not just say, yeah, one day. Oh yeah, that's on my list. No, you need to make this the priority quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been all these things over the years, like GDPR and things like that, that have, you know, made it so that email has been throttled a little bit, but not really, not in this same way, because you would still have your information that you could work with. And, you know, if you just put a little checkbox or even just had a mention that if you sign up for this, you're going to receive additional emails. That was usually enough to get around GDPR.
Right.
But for some of this new stuff that's coming, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. And what it comes down to is that people who are not actually learning marketing as a skill are going to get pushed out of the market.
Oh, it's already happening. So many people are throwing their hands up and saying, forget it, because it's just too much of a learning curve. You have to really want this. I talk about this quite a bit on I have another podcast called the Tuesday Tea Podcast. And I talk about this just a bit, where I go into how important it is to put on your marketing hat, whether you want to or not. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you have to understand just the fundamentals of what we're doing here, you know, because if you don't, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. If you didn't catch that, that was a plug for the Tuesday Tea Podcast.
This episode,
which you should check out.
Yeah, come check out my other podcast. It's nice and short and concise, and I talk to mainly female entrepreneurs all about how they started their business, and some of the stories are fascinating. So yeah, check that out. But for this podcast, we thought that it would just be so valuable for you guys to really just have a basic understanding of what the heck happened today. And we really won't know the whole scope until Facebook comes out with like a formal report. But cool.
And that's still only going to be Facebook side, which they are very, very good at managing their what they present to the world.
That is for sure. I mean, they have right? to. So, they have to, right? But
that's why we've provided some alternative ideas that it could be. We're not saying it is. We're just saying these are some alternatives that it could be, because we're probably not going to get the real story.
That's the thing. Are we ever? Who knows? And this episode will actually air 1 week from this happening. So by the time it airs, probably more information will have come out at that point. But it's just interesting to think about the ways in which we run our businesses online. Rory and I love having digital marketing agencies. I think mainly because we're always on our toes, right? It's like, what is going to happen next? There's always like new and exciting things that we get to learn. And this is just one of those learning moments where we have to remember, oh yeah, if that wasn't there, what next? What can we do next to make sure that we're not, you know, caught in a situation that could be detrimental to the business? So be thinking bigger picture, everybody. All right. That is it for this one. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.